I should. Testing. Okay. A lot of you were probably hoping this wouldn't work, this microphone. So, this is like a festival seating crowd. I've got to have notes. And I got to switch to my short eyes. I didn't do that in the 80s. So, if you look at your programs, you'll see that the title didn't make it on there. So just for clarification, the title, what is the title? Pride versus humility. That's funny. So in continuing with our theme of mentoring, what mentors have taught us about God, I will be telling you about what I learned through mentors through my life. Like a lot of people, we've had many, many mentors. And when this idea was first brought to me, or when Bill put it out, I couldn't pinpoint any one person because so many people had such a positive effect on my life. In fact, next to dying for me, the greatest gift Jesus ever gave me was the people that he's put into my life, starting when I was just a little yonker all the way through now. But I do want to highlight two people that were mentors when I was really small, because it shows how different you can be and teach the same message. In and around 1970, I was about 8 years old, and I think that's about the third or fourth grade. And the first mentor that I remember was Ed Danks Jr. Now, Ed Danks Jr. was the son of Ed Danks, who was the pastor at First Press Burbank. Ed Danks Jr. was the coolest guy I had ever seen as an eight-year-old. He had collar-length hair, he wore a t-shirt, jeans, a black belt, black boots, a black leather vest, and he rode a motorcycle. Ed Danks Jr. was the Fonz before the Fonz was ever the Fonz. Okay? And what Ed Danks did that I will remember to this day, because he was a tall man, whenever he would talk to us, eight-year-olds, he would come down to our level consistently and talk to us eye to eye. I never forgot that. He came to our level. 2 years later, my sixth grade Sunday school teacher, Boyd Ludwig, fantastic man, completely the opposite. Boyd Ludwig was pushing 50, gray hair, flat top, big black round glasses. He wore a short-sleeved dress shirt, always tucked into some leisure pants, shiny shoes, and the world's greatest pocket protector with a wide variety of pens. Just the polar opposite of the Fonz Ed. And so Sunday mornings became a treat for Sunday school because Boyd Ludwig introduced us to Bible baseball. And it was a simple game that, based on our lesson for the morning, we would play at the end of the lesson part. And certain answers would be worth singles and some doubles and triples, and we'd keep score. So just like Ed came down to our level, literally, Boyd came to our level of a 10-year-old boy with baseball. Now, I could talk about many, many, many more people. We all could. We all have those people. And I've been blessed, and I still am, talking about the elephant in the room back there, who mentors everybody and lets us all get up here and hacks like me once a year to try to make this work. Pam Jenner does these great banners, and they rotate throughout the year. And if you look at them, you'll notice that what she does is she takes different pieces and brings them together to make one complete picture. Today, I'm going to try to take three different pieces, three different themes, and bring them together to create the picture that I've learned through my life about or from mentors. I have, it's only right that I do this, I'm going to talk about it. We're going to do a little mentoring today. I have three people, come on up folks, that are going to help out with my sermon because it's mentoring time. So, you guys can stand right here, and then in just a moment, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and you're going to get to talk on the microphone, and if you're like me, you're going to totally dig the sound of your voice, okay? But before we do that, I've got to open in prayer. So bow our heads, please. Lord, I pray that we exalt you in worship and embrace each other in love. Help us encourage each other's spiritual growth and equip us for your ministry. Amen. So, see, that can go here. If you guys can get the mic, flip it on, and briefly introduce yourself. So everybody knows that I'm not solely to blame for this sermon. Introduce yourself and pass it down.
I'm Sharon Tomei. I go to Saugus High School, and I'm 14 years old.
I'm Hannah Buell. I go to Hart High School. I'm 15.
Hello, I'm Jacob Buell. I am 12 years old. I go to Placerita.
Okay. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk about three specific things. I'm going to break them down. I'm going to talk about pride and ego. I'm going to talk about being humble, humility, and then I'm going to incorporate laughter and joy into those. And as I go through my sermon, scripture will be read by the mentorees. Is that the mentorees? Sounds like a language I can't speak. Mentorees. What was that? What they said. Okay, so part one, what does the Bible say about pride and ego? First, we need to understand that there is a difference in the kind of pride that God hates and the kind of pride we feel about a job well done. The kind of pride that stems from self-righteousness is sin, and God hates it because it's a hindrance to seeking Him. Proverbs 8:13.
To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech.
Thank you. See how easy that was? Huh? I think it was your dad that said, imagine everybody in their underwear. So do that when you're... For those of you that are wearing underwear, it is hot. Now, the book of Psalms explains that the proud are consumed with themselves, and their thoughts are far away from God. Psalms 10:4.
In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God.
You faded off a little bit. What's the end?
The whole thing.
Could you read it again?
In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God.
Very good. Now, I wasn't able to actually find the word ego in the Bible. However, the concepts and principles regarding the ego certainly do appear. The word ego generally refers to the sense of self-importance or preoccupation with the self. And this is the complete opposite of the biblical model for Christians. The proud can be so blinded by their pride that they think they have no need of God, or worse, that God should accept them as they are, because they deserve his acceptance. Now, the consequences for this pride, this ego, can be devastating. Proverbs 16.
Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud.
Now, folks, pride is sinful because pride is giving ourselves credit or something that God has accomplished. Pride is a stumbling block that has kept many people from accepting Jesus as Savior. Consider this. Satan was cast down to hell due to his pride. Isaiah 14.
How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have a cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on a mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down the realm of the dead to the depths of the pit.
Thank you. You see how it was, I will ascend with Satan? I will ascend. I will reign. I will sit. I will make Most High. I think there's some pride and ego issues right there. Part two. What does the Bible say about humility? Are we ready for part two? Good to go. All right. The opposite of pride or ego is humility. And both the Old and New Testament are laden with references about living humbly. In the Old Testament, the prophet Micah says in Micah 6:8,
He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Also in the Old Testament, King Solomon chimes in Proverbs with 22:4.
Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life.
There's one verse that epitomizes why we are to be humble, and it's found in the New Testament, in Peter. 1 Peter 5:5 says,
In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
Thank you. Very good. Folks, a humble heart has no room for ego or pride, because it recognizes that all we have and that all we are come from God. Every gift, every talent, every breath we take comes from God, with Jesus being the perfect example of humility. Philippians 2, what does that say?
In your relations with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
And just for good measure, let's see what the Gospel of Mark has to say about Jesus' example. Mark 10:45.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many.
Thank you. You know, folks, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was teaching a Sunday school class on this very topic. And I brought in a bucket of soap and some water, and I washed all the kids' feet, telling them that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Don't worry, it'll be over soon. I promise. I get it. I really do. I'm crying on the inside, and I'm the one that's saying it. So we came in with a Sunday school class, and we washed feet and stressed the point that Jesus came to serve, not be served. So after the kids all had nice, clean feet, I proceeded to paint the bottom of them. And we made this poster, which still hangs in the Sunday school classroom today. So this is Doug in the middle. Doug, I haven't seen Doug in a bit, but he was one of our Sunday school teachers. And he actually got the foot washing from the kids. Let's just put this over here. I'm going to let you hold it. You look like you want to hold some feet stuff. Part three, what does the Bible say about joy and laughter? Part three person ready? Okay. Folks, I think that humility opens us up to the humor in our lives. And I also think that laughter is an amazing gift from God. And I believe that God himself has a fantastic sense of humor. Genesis 1, 27.
So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
So if God created man in his image, and we have the ability to enjoy humor and to appreciate a joke, then it makes sense that God has a sense of humor as well. You might say that we inherited our sense of humor from God. Now, if you're here on a regular basis, you'll see oftentimes Bill will be up here, and he'll work in some humor and a joke into his sermon. And every once in a while, they're actually funny. In the book of Psalms, there are several indications of God's humor in the ludicrousness of those who resist him. He laughs at them. One example is Psalms 2:4.
The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them.
A short verse, but it reminds me of that cereal commercial, Silly Rabbit, Tricks Are for Kids. It's like, when are you going to get it? Just like, come on, people. Now, I have this great two big paragraph story, but I'm going to call an audible and skip it. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with football terms, an audible is when the quarterback has already called a play, his team's up on the line, and he realizes at the last second that that play is not going to work or that there's a better play. So I'm going to call an audible and deviate and tell you about how pride, ego, and humor affected me 3 days ago, and how I had to acknowledge to say, God, that is actually pretty funny. So I'm a little stressed about this this sermon because it's obviously not what I do. I know it's hard to tell. And a few days ago, I wake up with this stupid fever blister on my lip. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I got to talk in like 3 days and I'm going to have this stupid fever blister. And oh gosh. And after about 10 seconds, it dawns on me. I go, you know, this is actually kind of funny. Because I'm up here talking about pride and ego and being humble. And then I realize that the laughter part is God saying, Shane, I'm going to make sure you're humble on Sunday morning. And I'm going to take that perfect face of yours and put just a little mark on the... So, that's... And it's there. Sorry, it's there. Anyway, let's go back to the Bible, to Ecclesiastes. What does it say in 3:4?
A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance.
Again, it would seem that God did design laughter for our lives. Now, the humor of Jesus is much more subtle, nearly imperceptible at first glance. It was the wit and wisdom of Jesus that made his teachings so accessible. Jesus encouraged joyful laughter. Most famously in the Beatitudes, when he said, "Blessed are those who weep now, for you shall laugh." Jesus often spoke of rejoicing in his parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. All were found, and all resulted in great rejoicing, in joy and laughter. Now, my notes, part 4, which means you guys can turn the microphone off and go sit down. Woo-hoo. Hey, there we go. The conclusion, almost. So like I said earlier, I believe that laughter is a gift from God. I mean, who doesn't like to laugh? Everybody likes to laugh. And, you know, we all make mistakes, and I guarantee you, I've made my share. Ask my wife. I've let my pride and my ego get in my way far too many times, only later to humble myself by asking for forgiveness. In my case, laughter, specifically laughing at myself, seems to be an extra special gift from God. You see, I find that laughing at myself is proof to me that I've humbled myself before God. Now, it's easy to stand up here and to say these things, but sometimes you got to put your money where your mouth is. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let my pride get in the way, and then I'm going to be humbled, and a lot of people I hope will laugh. But I'm not going to do this alone. I'm going to need some help. So these people don't know they're coming up here yet, which is kind of funny to me. Hey, good-looking group. John, Bob, come on. And bring those two desperados right there, right next to you. Right there. Come on up, guys. Come on up. No, no, no. Come on. You can't say this is the Lord talking. Now, if you'll stand right here, one of you needs the mic because you're going to need the mic. You can work it because you got the text. All right? You're here. You're here. You're here. You hold this. Okay? No, no. No, no. No, 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 no. Okay. Hold on.
So how you been?
He gave me the St. Peter blister.
Just watch.
You can plug it into Roland.
Hold that, please. Thank you. La-di-di-di. Now, this is important. I don't know how to play this. I'm serious. I don't know how to play this. I learned three chords. And I got to look at them to get started. Hang on, hang on. Can you hear this? Can you hear that? Okay.
We got three tone deaf singers up here.
Now, there's a reason I don't play in the band. You're about to find out. There's a reason I don't sing in the choir, and you're about to find out. But I learned three chords. Been practicing for about 3 weeks now. Because I have just enough pride to think I can actually pull this off. But yet I'm humble enough to know that I'm going to fail, but I want to fail in front of you. And then the laughter is kind of the glue that brings them together. So, to the three
tone deaf
desperados. Whoa, is that me? Okay, I'll come over here. I have given you the chorus, which we'll start with, and then I'll do some verses, and then the chorus and the verse. All right?
I understand how that works.
Okay.
Teach me.
Be patient. Yes, keep it on them. So we're going to start with this, all right? And this is what happens when your pride and your ego.
Todd wants to know what key you're in.
We're Sam. What key is this?
D.
Is that it? Is that it? Ready, guys? Here we go. Oh, Lord. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look. Oh, am I? Are you hearing me? Am I off?
Yeah, I can't hear you.
It's, well, you know what? I don't blame you for not listening. Hang on. This is supposed to be good. Is it on? Is it on? All right.
Take one.
Okay. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'Cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Ready? My turn, and then you go. Yeah, I'm going to do the verse. You thought I was kidding when I said I don't know how to do this? I used to have a girlfriend, but I guess she just couldn't compete with all those love-starved women who keep clamoring at my feet. Well, I probably could find me another, but I guess they're all in awe of me. Who cares? I'll never be lonesome, 'cause I treasure my own company. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Keep up, guys. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. One more verse. I guess you could say I'm a loner, a cowboy, outlaw, tough and proud. Well, I could have lots of friends if I wanted, but then I wouldn't stand out from the crowd. Some folks say that I'm egotistical. Well, I don't even know what that means. I guess it has something to do with the way that I fill out my skin-tight blue jeans. Oh, everybody, if you know it, Lord, it's hard to be humble. You're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I'm doing the best that I can. I got it from Mac Davis.
Yeah, I think you messed up my hair.
Thank you. Am I off? Am I on still? Anybody ears hurt besides mine?
No, my ear doesn't hurt.
Okay. You're lucky.
I like the song very good. You did a
copy. He likes the song. All right. You're what we call a groupie. Okay? Follow me on ShaneCan'tSing.com. All right? We'll start something. So, folks, here's the summary of this morning's message. Pride, bad. Humble, good. Laughter, a gift from God. Hey.